following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome everyone. Hope you all had a great weekend and was restful. As usual, I'm always doing something. I can't help it. I've got to teach and answer questions. I go into chat rooms and just look for opportunities to expand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And did that this weekend. And also just spent some time with the wife watching stuff and enjoying TV together and just relaxing and, stuff like that. Now, tomorrow I won't be on the air. Because I got to go with the wife. We got to do a doctor's thing. No big deal. Luke will be on, and he'll be the one doing the show tomorrow. So get the really hard questions, the ones that are like really tough, and just ask him these questions, and then see what happens. It'll be fun. Okay, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276, and. We have, let's see, 4 open lines, so why don't you give me a call. Just a way of reminding you, I do Patreon videos. I'm going through a course on apologetics. What I'm actually doing is going through my notes. I've been developing notes on apologetics for a year or two, maybe three, I don't know. And I just put everything in outline form. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going through and teaching through it, because there's a lot there. It really is. This is the kind of stuff that I develop, in real time, not theoretical behind a book. Not that I'm not knocking that, but with me, it's okay. That didn't work. Let me do this. Oh, they went to this verse, and it forces me to learn about it, this topic, that way. And that's how I learned my theology to begin with. And so, by the time I got to college, the theology professor said that I knew more going into college than most of the pre-sem students did coming out. That's not a brag. It's just, hey, when you do this, you learn stuff. And I put those that learned stuff in the notes. And I don't know how big those notes are. I'm going to open it up and see. Let's see. Because, let's get right to it. Here, where did it go? There it is. Come on. Here we go. Come on. There it is. It's opening. And so, I just add to it, and I've got all kinds of topics, and it's 45 pages, and 8.5 by 11. So far, 45 pages. I'm teaching through it, not every single line, but I'm going through the things that are useful and appropriate. Woo! Okay, there you go. Having said all of that, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Buskman from Ohio. Welcome. You're on the air.
How are you, Matt? It's good to talk to you again, my friend.
Nice talking to you. So what do you got?
My question, once again, Matt, and I've brought this up in a previous conversation with you, but I had a conversation with a Christian that said you cannot be both Christian and patriotic. And initially, Matt, my head went to Paul, I believe it was Acts 16 and 22, sir, where he brought up his Roman citizenship to discuss when they were going to flog him. And that was one of the first things that I thought of when it come to being patriotic. Was that a good reference?
Sure.
And do you have any references that I could take fellow Christians to straighten the Word of God to say, here's what I can stand on when I want to stand up for the freedoms of being blessed to be born by God into this country, the United States of America, and not some other country? He could have willed me to be born in a different country, Matt. But this is a totally different form of government. And I consider myself blessed, and here is what I would say is why, and then point to that scripture. Do you have anything like that, Matt?
I have additional stuff. I don't know if that was the conversation we were in a couple of hours ago or so when I was working out. But because someone said, one of the groups, somebody's going to call in. So as Christians, we are obligated to be involved in politics. And this idea of separation of church and states is just not biblical. Unfortunately, too many Christians bow to the secular philosophy instead of the biblical one. They'll say, separate the church and state. So therefore, Christians aren't supposed to do what Jesus said to do and hold all things in subjection to his greatness, his counsel, to his wisdom, his lordship. No, that's now excluded because the secularists say there's a separation between church and state. And so the Christians don't realize that when they do that, they are in sin because they're denying what the scripture says. And so Paul did appeal to Caesar in his citizenship, and
he did.
There's no problem with that. And so the biblical form of government is very simple. It's representative, and that's Exodus 18:21 through 22, Deuteronomy 1:13. You know, I'm looking at my notes, my article that I wrote on CARM right now. What is the biblical form of government? And I'm going to go through this a little bit and then talk about it. Self-governance, and I won't give all the references, it's just, they're right there. I have this title, self-governance, and then the scriptures that support it. Private property rights, the principle of liberty and freedom, and the promotion of those things. The principle of self-defense and defense of others. Capitalist principles, witnesses and fair trial. The right of taxation, limits of government. And we're not to follow if the government contradicts God. We're not to follow if the government leads us into sinful things like homosexuality, same-sex marriage, abortion, socialism, transgenderism, etc. The Christian's obligation is to follow Christ, not the secularists who are antichrists, because they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, let me read something. A lot of Christians need, you know, a little bit of a polite lesson. Beloved, do not believe, this is 1 John 4:1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. And I can go on from there, but I won't.
Wow.
So the secularists are of the spirit of the Antichrist. What too many Christians are doing in their ignorance, in their laziness, is saying, let's let the unbelievers rule over us. Let's let the unbelievers pass laws on morality and righteousness. Let's let the unbelievers tell us what we can and can't do. And because of this sinful attitude that so many Christians have, then God has let the judgment of the secularists come upon us, and we're now reaping what we have sown in our rebellion against Christ. And that is in America today.
Wow. Okay. You mentioned article. We can find that at carm.org.
Yes. What is the biblical form of government? And in that discussion, someone said, socialism is the biblical way. No, it is not. And
I have heard that, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Socialism is not biblical. People say, well, you know, then help everybody. That's not socialism. Socialism, look at a scale. I tell people, just look at a scale. On the left is governmental freedom. On the right is personal freedom. And they're balanced. Okay, now we're going to start off. In a democracy, because America is not a democracy, it's a republic. It's a constitutional republic. Mm-hmm. It's another thing that Christians are ignorant of, and our stupid media promotes something that's just not true. So in a democracy, we'll work with that, generally speaking, it's mob rule, because whatever the majority says goes. So then on the scale, it's dipping towards the freedom of the and the rights of the individuals. And that's okay. That's fine, as long as they are godly. But when they're ungodly, like the majority says, let's kill babies in the womb, then that's a problem, as an example. Socialist, a republic is the same thing, except the republic, let's just say, a democracy, you take that to scale, a democracy can bottom out, where the rights of the individual just bottom out in as the major thing. In a republic, it doesn't bottom out. It goes so far down, it can't go any further because there's a Bill of Rights that limits the power of the states as well as individuals in that you Amen. Cannot lie, cheat, steal, murder, etc. And these attributes cannot be, or these rights cannot be violated. So there's a certain balance of freedom. Now let's just take socialism. Socialism is the opposite of this because the more socialism you have, the more governmental control you have in the means of production and the distribution of the production. That means their laws, they pass laws, the oligarchy passes laws in order to tell us what to produce and where the production goes. It has never, ever been the case that an oligarchy can run efficiently a governmental system with hundreds of millions of people and thousands of trickle-down facts that have to be managed, that can be best managed by individuals who have the best intention of the majority at heart. But when you have God out of the equation and the best intention of the majority at heart is selfishness, then what you get is a necessity of the increase of laws because the government has restricted our belief in God and has worked towards secularism. It needs to pass even more laws for the ungodly, and therefore it gains more and more power and control. So in socialism, in order to assure that control, it has to confiscate the property rights more and more, increase taxation, as well as remove gun rights, self-protection rights. And the reason they want to do that is because they don't want the populace to rise up against the oligarchy. Now, just think of Canada. When the people gathered for protest, because they don't want the oligarchy demanding a dangerous vaccine be injected to them and into them, and then what happens is if they don't, then they can't buy, sell, or eat. This is an oppressive right. system, and that's an oligarchy rule. And so then they declared martial law, restricted the rights of the individuals, suspended certain powers and rights that the individuals had, then forcibly confiscated their assets, froze assets. They confiscated their trucks and stuff like that, removed them, and then they instituted basically what we call tyranny. And so, if we Wow. don't, and they and the people didn't have the right to resist with weapons. Now, I'm not advocating violence. I'm not advocating that. But
understood.
But the United States
didn't have that.
They didn't have that recourse. Yeah.
And they still don't. Should not have our blessed United mm-hmm. States Constitution as well.
They have a
small version, but it's not quite right. as robust as the United right. States Constitution.
Now, furthermore, think of this: that the Australian government confiscated all weapons of the people like 20, 30 years ago, something like that. And look what Australia has now become. It's become a police
Absolutely.
State. And so this is the same thing that happened up north with Canada. And I'm not saying that, you know, I want to be violent. I do not. I don't want that. But I'll tell you, when everybody's
Absolutely
armed,
not.
The government's going to think twice about coming in and saying, this is what you can and can't do, and eat and buy and sell.
Correct.
Because they'll know after a while the population is going to say, we've had enough of this. And this is why
the First
Amendment is there.
Yeah. I've already spoken with my local authority to make sure that I am discerning, as our word teaches, you know, what I can and can't do I live here in Ohio, as an Ohio citizen, because I know it changes jurisdiction to jurisdiction, even as small as your county and even your city. And I have explored that, and I would.
Hold on, we got a break, buddy. We got a break. Hold on.
Yep.
Okay, we got a break. So hold on for the break. Okay, sorry about that. Hard break. Hey, folks, three open lines if you want to. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
We want to have our needs met.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, we had a slight tech problem there, and that does happen, so thanks for being patient. We are still here. I wonder how many people were taking the radio going, what's going on? No big deal. So let's get back on the phones with Bushman. I hope I get that right.
Yeah, Buskman. Yeah.
Buskman? Okay. Yep. All right, so there you go.
As I was saying there, Matt, I would highly suggest to all of your listeners, do check with your local jurisdictions when it comes to your Second Amendment to see just exactly what is allowed and what is not allowed.
Right.
So that's what I've done, and I'm confident in knowing what would happen if, Lord forbid, Matt, that was to ever be a day that came like
right.
that. But at least you know what your rights are per right. your city, your county, your state, etc.
Well, I believe there's a very slow, organized movement on a global level to move us to a one world government.
Yeah.
Yep. I believe COVID yep. was used.
And on that note, Matt, what mm-hmm. would you suggest Christians to do? That's a very watchman type phrase that you just made, mm-hmm. and I think that's wonderful that Christians do that. What should the people inside the wall do?
They should prepare, as Proverbs. Proverbs talks about preparing, not having all your eggs in one basket. So I would recommend that Christians know their rights, for one thing, and know what they can and cannot do according to the laws, and to be organized with other Christians about things, to be active in voting, support people who want to go into politics as Christians in order to stop this secularization of everything. And also I would suggest that Christians start preparing for an economic downturn, because it's coming. There are shortages, more supply problems, and with what's happening in Ukraine, there is a natural gas, as one of the examples that's not being talked about, but there's a natural gas line that's being shut down. It comes from Russia to Germany, and that's a problem. Whenever you have natural resources being shut down, one nation tends to become aggressive with another to get those things back or to get new supplies. And Putin, what he did is he activated the squad, I don't know what the right name of it is, a group of people who are trained in very aggressive tactics of control, as well as the same group or another group, as they've raised the level of nuclear war preparedness up one level.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. And so obviously there's going to be problems over there with the oil supply. So what does the branded administration do? What it does, when people say, get our internal pipelines for oil and for natural gas, get them going again, doesn't want to do it. So then he's opening up the borders to the illegals to flood us in, to flood in with socialism. This is a part of the great reset that the oligarchy is trying to do upon us. And the people in America are just sheeple walking towards the abyss and getting ready to just jump in. And we can't let this happen. And so there are things we can
Christian...
do, and we need to be voting. But then here's a question. And now I'm just going to ask this.
Yeah.
How many people would trust the coming elections as being legitimate and correct? You know, I have my opinion about that. But can we trust them? You know, and the fact that we even have to ask the question now and worry about preparing and getting extra food and supplies and things like that, because what's going on, the fact that we have to ask about it here in America just tells you how bad things are.
What kind of day we are in now, as opposed to even just, you know, 5 years ago, maybe even sooner.
That's right.
Sure.
Yeah. 5 years ago, it was a different United States. And now, with the social justice stuff, you're not allowed to think out loud. You're express your
Correct.
Opinion. Otherwise, you're going to be canceled, or you're going to be doxxed, you're going to be punished. And now, the government is now using private sectors to silence people so that they don't have the freedom of expression anymore. This is really, really bad. The government is doing this. As Psaki, that wench, got up and said and hinted at the issue of how certain social media platforms need to stop certain people from saying misinformation. In other words, it's just a way of saying stop them from exercising their freedom of speech. We don't like what they're saying, so the private media sectors need to do this. Now, the government is working or asking them to do it. This is tyranny. And hear me saying this. The thing I'm concerned about is they're going to come and take me away.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I could say this. I wasn't worried about it. Now when I say it, I actually worry. Are they going to come take me away just for what I just said? Here in America, do we have that freedom anymore? Not so much. Now, I say what I say, and that's it. So we'll see what happens.
And that's what can be concerning for the church is when will the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So that exclusivity, Matt, when will that become hate speech? And when will we be threatened of losing our livelihood?
It already is.
Here
the homosexual,
in the United States.
LGBT, the LGBT community has been made movements to try and get the Bible outlawed as hate speech. And you know, when I talk, let me tell you, I got to be careful here for time and how much deep we get into this. This is not a bad thing at all.
I don't want to take up a whole lot either.
No, it's okay. But I'm just saying that I've learned a great deal over the years, and I want to do more and more seminars of teaching people how to do apologetics and how to answer people, how to do critical thinking, because most Christians are very ill-equipped to do the necessary logistics of thought, dealing with issues and things like this. You know, here's a real simple example. Oh, I can run out of time. There's the break. We'll just move along. But I want to start teaching Christians how to do this because they need to know how to think, and they're not doing it. Hey, buddy, we've got to go. There's a break.
Thanks
okay, buddy?
So much.
Talk to you later.
Thanks so much for that, man.
Bye-bye. All right, Nick. God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after the break. Ooh, Agenda 30 after the break. We'll check this out. All right, folks, stay tuned. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Jim from North Carolina. Jim, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right, hanging in there. Just making trouble for myself.
Stuff with the technology issue, I was concerned. My question was the reason why you almost got kicked off. But
yeah, you never know. No, said that the computer just rebooted, and that can happen for various reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm an ex-tech guy, so I know about that stuff.
I'm going to say hi to Laura, Richard, and MG.
Oh,
I see Vicky's not on right now, but say hi.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so the guys that I've been discipling for, goodness gracious, 5.5 years now, for some reason they want to get into a topic, and you just talked about it, interestingly enough, about the Great Reset, Agenda 30, and I'm sure the topic's going to come into a one world order type topic and an Antichrist topic. So, you know, I just recently taught on the Sunday school Daniel 7,
good,
which may be helpful, and we did get into Revelation 13 somewhat.
Good,
but I'm not an expert on this. I don't know much about it. I'm trying to bone up to get ready because I'm leading and I want to be prepared. So prepare me
for what?
And if you like, I don't really have another question. I'll be happy to hang up and you just carry it on.
Stay on. What do you want to talk about? What's your question, though?
Well, just that. I mean, what would you tell me? First off, do you have any articles on this topic? On the Great Reset,
Agenda 30
from the UN,
no.
You know, topics like that. And
no,
also, how would you handle the conversation Tuesday night at my house? And by the way, if you want to, you can call in and handle the conversation that way.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Seriously, if you want, you email me at info@carm.org and what time it is, Eastern time, and a phone number. I'll call in, and then that way, when I'm done, you'll have so much work to do to clean up for months. Trust me, it'll be good.
Yeah, we'll never get off the subject. We're supposed to be doing the second half of Matthew 5. Right. The Beatitudes.
My belief is I've taught Bible studies for years and years and years and years, and I've been at Bible studies where we're going through a topic and the Bible study leader says, nope, can't talk about that. When everybody's going like, yeah, let's take this tangent for a while. They go, nope, we can't. It's frustrating because that's the vitality of what the Word of God leads to. So I'm always welcoming tangents, and we call them tangents. In fact, when I was teaching in San Diego, we had so many of them that we would just all simultaneously go, tangent, because we loved it. And we would stop the Bible study for a month sometimes, get into a topic.
That's how we are.
Good.
In fact, I've been involved in, through church, something we call grow groups, which are like discipleship groups at the church. It's very structured, and I think what works at the house is the fact that we are not structured like that. Yes, we do have a central theme, but you know, we can find ourselves going down the rabbit hole, and guys get amped up, pumped up, and excited, and we start talking, and it just kind of takes a life of its own. I guess that's why they keep coming, and also why it's regenerated out multiple times for other guys to go out and start their own groups as well.
Absolutely.
But, anyway, for this particular topic, though, on the Great Reset, Agenda 30, you know, that type of conversation, what do you suggest?
Talk about it. I don't have the research done, but you could very easily get some Agenda 30 research done on various websites. And I'll tell what it is for everybody who's wondering what it is. Agenda 30 is the global movement to move the economy of the globe under one socialistic, controlled system by an oligarchy, and they do it under the guise of the proper use of resources, climate control, and things like this in order to stop starvation and varying problems. And so this is what they say, and what it is world domination, and they call it the reset, where we can get people under control. And then they ultimately want to reduce the population of the world from, what, we're at 7 billion, down to 500 million. Now, how's that going to happen? That's what's scary. So are they going to say, hey, we'll just let people die out, or are they going to do stuff? We don't know. But this, well, let's put it this way. In the 1900s, more people were killed in war than all of history combined. And when secularists get in control of governments, Stalin, Hitler, because Hitler was, people say he was a Christian, he was not. He was an occultist. Mao Zedong, Lenin, you know, they killed millions upon millions upon millions of people. They were secularists who believed in the superiority of the state and not in the rights of individuals. So, at any rate, if Agenda 30 comes to full fruition, we should be very afraid. We should be very afraid.
Yeah.
Your men need to talk about this. And the reason they need to talk about it is they're responsible for their families, and they want to take care of their families. We are providers and protectors. This is part of what we are as God has made us, and it's appropriate to talk about it. And yes, we should.
Yeah, I agree. I just haven't done much study on it, so I'm trying to bone up quickly and at least get, you know, somewhat coherent on it.
Just say that. Just say it. Just say, hey, guys, I don't know too much about it. Here's the information. Let's read through this and talk. That's good enough.
But always my concern is because some of these guys, you know, and by the way, they've taken off like crazy, but some of the guys came from a Catholic background. A lot of damage occurred. Didn't even know how to pray. Some of them didn't even have Bibles. Since then, we've had wives come in and say, you don't know what has changed in our marriage as a result of my husband being here. We've had men that ask, what Bible do I buy? We've had baptisms that have occurred over the years. We've replicated out probably four different times. But it all started with two guys that didn't even know each other. And I just walked up to each of them one day, goodness gracious, almost 6 years ago, I guess now, and said, hey, this is something I'm going to do. Are you interested? And the common theme that brought everybody together was how the culture nowadays diminishes the role of the man.